This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. This song has been controversial since it was written. It was the anthem of the Confederacy, President Abraham Lincoln's gesture of reconciliation at the end of the Civil War, a source of white affection and black rejection. And it's been recorded by everyone from Elvis Presley to the Robert Shaw Chorale. This week on Present at the Creation, a series on American cultural icons, NPR's Cynthia Johnston explores the origins of Dixie.
Dixie was an odd choice for the Confederate anthem. The first verse, with its ode to the rural South, might make sense. But by the second verse, it turns into a silly story about a woman who marries a con man.
Old Mrs. Mary Will the Weaver William was a gay deceiver. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. And when he put his arm around her, he smiled as fierce as a 40-pounder. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Not very anthem-like. But Dixie wasn't meant to be serious. It was a minstrel tune performed in blackface. And it wasn't written by a Southerner, either. Daniel Decatur Emmett was from Mount Vernon, Ohio. In 1859, Emmett was living and performing in New York City. One day, his boss asked him to write a piece on short notice. At this year's Dan Emmett Festival in Mount Vernon, musician Mike Peaty told the story.
It's rainy, it's cold. And what minstrels love to do is to tour the north during the summer, and the winter, they want to go down south. So he's in the north, it's cold, it's dreary, and his thoughts go to Dixie, where he wants to be.
On a Dixieland where I was born early on, one folks all look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Dixie was a hit. Within a year, it was being sung across the country. But Dixie's popularity came as the nation was tearing itself apart. As the country moved toward civil war, what once was a song embraced by everyone became more and more identified with the South. By 1862, it was the region's nickname. But Dixie was also one of Abraham Lincoln's favorite songs. According to historian Cheryl Thurber, the day the South surrendered, he asked for it to be played.
People are cheering Lincoln when he appears on the balcony at the White House coming out. And he asks if you've got a band there. And they say yes. And Lincoln says, we've won this fair and square, so now it's time to play Dixie.
There are a number of theories about where the word Dixie came from. One is that it comes from the Mason-Dixon line. Another is the Louisiana $10 banknote. In French, the word for 10 is spelled D-I-X, and the bills began to be called Dixies. Emmett himself told a story about a kindly master named Dixie, whose slaves were sent to other plantations when he died. The slaves longed to go back to Dixie's land. Cheryl Thurber leans toward this theory.
Dixie was the slave idea of paradise. Now, this is an imaginary paradise. It may have been connected with a runaway community. The word Dixie may or may not have been used, but certainly the concept of a slave paradise is one that Emmett did adopt from African American slaves.
There's also a theory that Dan Emmett took more from African Americans than just the name.
The gravestone reads, Ben Lou Snowden. They taught Dixie to Dan Emmett.
Judith Sachs and her husband Howard, a professor of sociology at Kenyon College, wrote a book on the song's history called Way Up North in Dixie. At the Morris Township Cemetery outside Mount Vernon, they point to the grave of Ben and Lou Snowden, brothers whose parents had been slaves in Maryland. In the 1820s, they came to Ohio. They acquired a plot of land just outside Mount Vernon, not far from Dan Emmett's family. The Snowdens were well-known musicians who gave concerts from a converted gable on the side of their house. The Sachs believe the song Dixie is Mrs. Ellen Snowden's recollection of her childhood.
The first verse is, I wish I was in the land of cotton, simmon seed and sandy bottom. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie's land.
When we were investigating the Snowden story, we went to Smith's Point, which was the very location from which Ellen Cooper Snowden left Maryland to come to Ohio as a child. We said to the caretaker, are there any, persimmons anywhere around here? And he pointed up immediately above us and said, there's a simmon tree, there's a simmon tree, there's a simmon tree, there's simmon trees all over here. And we knew we were standing at a very, very sandy place. So when I read simmon seed and sandy bottom, I'm standing in the exact locale that Ellen would have first remembered from her departure from Maryland.
The Sacks say it's likely Emmett learned Dixie from the Snowdens during one of his frequent visits home to Mount Vernon before the Civil War. They acknowledge they have no proof, and many scholars are skeptical, including Cheryl Thurber.
Emmett did know the family. He performed with them, but that was in the 1890s, at a much later time point.
Origins aside, Dixie is a symbol of racism and slavery to many African Americans. Thomasina Neely Chandler, an ethnomusicologist and music professor at Spelman College in Atlanta, says it's a minstrel song, and minstrels caricatured blacks as jolly simpletons who were happy to be slaves down on the plantation.
It's not the song or the text so much as it is how it's used in a distorted way to present a particular people with an image that really doesn't represent them.
That antipathy deepened in the 1950s when blacks began asserting their claim to civil rights, says Charles Reagan Wilson, a historian at the University of Mississippi.
They would sing a song like We Shall Overcome or the Battle Hymn of the Republic, but then opponents of integration and of black rights would sing Dixie as a kind of counter song asserting white privilege and white supremacy.
Dixie is rarely sung in public anymore, and when it is, it stirs up controversy. So some performers have looked for ways to make it acceptable. One is to combine it in a medley with other songs that evoke its complex history. Elvis Presley's American Trilogy mixes Dixie with the Battle Hymn of the Republic and the spiritual All My Trials. And recently, jazz singer Renee Marie combined it with Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit.
I wish I was in the land of cotton, yeah. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie.
Dixie, says Howard Sachs, is in many ways the quintessential American story.
What it tells us is that black, white, male, female, southern, northern, slave, free, urban, rural, these aren't separate realms. The story of the American experience is the story of movement between these two realms. And understanding the creation and recreation of Dixie is really that story encapsulated in the words and music of a single song.
Cynthia Johnston, NPR News, Mount Vernon, Ohio.
Versions of Dixie, including the one by Elvis, are at npr.org.